Welcome to World Changer Weekend 2018. This is guest speaker Nate Tanner.
All right, good afternoon. How's everyone doing today? Receiving a thing or two from this incredible guy here? I don't know about you guys, but whenever he speaks, for every point he makes, I have about 10 questions. Anyone like that? So I'm writing those, making a mental note, writing them down. And luckily, I get to spend a bit of time with him, so I ask him questions. But I don't know about you guys, but the people that really have influenced my life and impacted my life, I can probably count on about one hand, right? I don't just listen to any teacher out there. I'll draw good things from them. But Jim and Impact Ministries is one of those guys that's really influenced my life. It's just an honor and a privilege, Jim, to have an opportunity and just going to share a little bit of what's on our hearts and a little bit of what's going on around the world. Now, I've been connected to Jim and the ministry here for about 15 years, and I was introduced, as Jim said, through Dennis and Denise Capra, my pastors back in Kansas City. And before that, my wife and I had been involved for 3 or 4 years in evangelistic ministry around the world, and we came back in early 2004 from 3 months of ministry in New Zealand, crisscrossed the country. Thousands of people came to the Lord, wild miracles. We were preaching the gospels in stadiums, and we were doing the best we knew how to do. Anyone ever been there? And we were preaching the purest gospel that we knew, and it wasn't a legalistic gospel, but there was something missing. There was this good news piece of it that wasn't there. And it was, it wasn't legalism, but it wasn't the message of the early church. And it wasn't the message that Jesus preached. And I remember my wife and I came back to Kansas City and we're driving down Blue Ridge Boulevard and we saw this church off to the side and the sign said, God's not mad at you, leave church feeling loved. And I turned to my wife and I said, sweetie, we're not going there. That's one of those feel-good New Age churches. But how many of you guys know that when you say I'm never doing something, usually that's a sign that God's leading you somewhere. So long story short, we went there, got connected to the pastors. About our second week there, Dennis and Denise kept talking about this guy named Jim Richards, and they gave me a book called The Gospel of Peace, which I read it through once, turned around and read it through another time, and then a third time, and realized, wow, I didn't really have the right message. That was nearly 15 years ago, and that started a process. They introduced us to Andrew Womack and others, and God began to change the message that we were taking to the world and to give us a real good news message. Because how many of you guys know that there's a lot of bad news in the world? There's a lot of bad news message, but we've got the greatest message in the world. And so if it's not clear yet, I'm an evangelist. That's my passion. I'm passionate about introducing people to Jesus Christ. And our message is very, very simple. It's the good news gospel. And it carries such incredible power. Miracles happen when we share good news. And so I'm going to share some slides here in a minute. But I want to share with you guys a few thoughts. And I've got some scripture here and some notes. And I want to share a little bit about what's so good about the gospel. Now, let me ask you guys, when you think of the word evangelism, what's the first thought that comes to your mind? Soul winning. Now go back maybe 10 years or how before you understood God's grace and love. And now tell me, what are your first thoughts when you hear the word evangelism?
Hell.
Manipulation. You know what I think of? I think of those cheesy movies from the 70s called A Thief in the Night and the little guillotine, chopping off all the heads, and then, you know what I'm talking about, and then a pastor gets up and makes everyone feel real guilty, calls them forward. What else? What are some of the first thoughts that come to your mind when you hear evangelism?
Turn or burn.
How about I don't want to be that guy on the street corner? God's got him. You know, unfortunately, this is what the church has made evangelism out to be, where evangelism, in very simple terms, just means someone who's sharing the good news. And how many of you guys know, when you're sharing good news, it's a lot easier to be bold with complete strangers. Because we've got something good to share. Let me give you an illustration. The other day, I was working out in my front yard, and this lady pulled up going one way, and she said, you know, I've got a job interview at a university down the road, and I'm lost, and I'm going to miss this opportunity of a lifetime. Where do I go to get to such and such university? And I said, you know, lady, you're going the wrong way. Actually, you're headed into a traffic jam. You're going to miss your opportunity. Turn around and go two blocks down this way. Take a right, and you're going to be there. And I don't know what happened to her. Now, this is just a make-believe story, but really, that's what sharing the good news is, right? God's got an incredible quality of life for you. He loves you so passionately. He did everything already. Why don't you come home to Papa? Good news. You know, 2 years ago, I was here at this conference, and on the Sunday night after the conference ended, went back to the hotel, got up early the next morning to catch a 5 a.m. flight back to Kansas City, and the taxi driver that picked me up was a young woman in her middle 30s. She told me she was a single mom driving the night shift to earn enough money to take care of her kids. And I could tell that life had been difficult for this woman. She had an open bag of Cheetos and a Mountain Dew on the front seat. And it was 5 a.m. I hadn't had my coffee yet. And if you know me, I function well with large quantities of caffeine. And so as we're driving to the Huntsville Airport at 5 in the morning, I felt prompted to talk with this lady and to ask her if she'd ever heard the gospel before. I'm not one of those guys that shares the gospel with every single person he comes in contact with. I always try to share God's love with people. But there's certain times where God gives you an opportunity, and he was telling me at that time to do that. And so I asked this woman, I said, have you ever heard the gospel before? Now, Huntsville is deep south Bible Belt. Is that correct? To all my redneck hillbilly friends? Is that right, Jim? And as far as I know, there's churches on every corner in Huntsville, or pretty close. And so I asked this woman, have you ever heard the gospel? And she said, I think I have, with her southern accent. Said, I think I have. And she said, my grandma used to tell me that God hated me, I was a sinner, and I was going to burn in hell. And I said, girl, that's not the gospel. And we were getting close to the airport, and I said, I'm going to give you gospel in a nutshell, the 60-second version. And I talked about a good God who created her, that loved her. I talked about sin and death in this world and how it's affected every one of us. I talked about Christ's solution and what Jesus did to bring her back into relationship, and now she can stand like sin never existed before God, and all she's got to do is just surrender her life and receive it. And she's crying by this time. 5 in the morning. Don't even remember what came out. I hadn't had coffee yet. And she's weeping. And as we pulled up to the gate or the door at Huntsville Airport, I led her in a prayer to Jesus. And I actually I gave her Jim Richards' number. I don't think she ever got in contact with you. But that's what evangelism is. It's just seeing opportunities and taking what God places before you. It's sharing the good news. You don't got to be an evangelist. You don't even really got to be bold. You just have to have your life changed by the love of God. Anyone here ever had your life changed by God's love? So I want to read a scripture here. And you know, most of America has heard a version of the gospel, but it's probably not the good news gospel. And I am so passionate about sharing with people the good news of Christ and his finished work, just how much God loves people, the good news that he's not angry at people, that the price has already been paid. And what I found is that very few people are really opposed to a God that absolutely loves them passionately. Amen? They might be opposed to your religious version of them, but they're not opposed to the God of the gospel, the God of Jesus Christ. I want to read a familiar passage of scripture from 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 21. Now, one theologian defines the gospel as this. It says, the gospel is something good that happened in the past that has changed for the better your perception of the present and changes your expectation of the future. Let me read that again. The gospel is something good that happened in the past that has changed for the better your perception of the present and changes your expectation of the future. Sounds like good news, doesn't it? Now, the word gospel is a very interesting word, and you know, some teachers define it as news that's nearly too good to be true. But in Greek context, it was a word that was reserved for only specific times in Roman culture. And really the only times it was used was one, to announce a great victory that had been won by the empire, and number two, to announce there was a new empire on the throne. Either he'd been born or a new empire had taken his place. That's the only time that this word good news was used. A new king is on the throne, and a great battle has been won. Does that sound like the gospel to you? You see, the gospel is about the King of all kings stooping to our level, dying on the cross in our place for our sin to restore us back and to begin to transform the world we live in. Just like Jim made a statement in the first session today, that heaven is not the ultimate goal. Jesus Christ ruling reign on the earth is the ultimate goal of the gospel. And guys, we get an opportunity to be a part of God's kingdom rule and reign through the gospel, moving and transforming the earth. We've got an incredible job to do. It's not just about getting to heaven when we die and having our sins forgiven, no matter how great that is. It's about us being carriers of the power and presence and the love of God and beginning to change the nation, change our cities, our communities, our families. That's the call of the gospel. So 2 Corinthians 5, it says, verse 14, "For Christ's love compels us." How many of you guys know that everything we do for the gospel should be motivated by love? He doesn't say, "For the fear of God compels us." He says, "The love of God compels us." It constrains us. And it says, "Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." So this is what happened in the past. One died for all, and therefore all died. That's not saying everyone's saved. Don't get me wrong, okay? I got to clarify that with all these inclusionist weirdos running around. But on the cross, Jesus Christ died representing all of mankind. So everyone has an opportunity to come back. So that's what happened in the past. Verse 15 says, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." So something happened in the past, and now I want you to see something that took place now or in the future. "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer." So we don't regard people from a worldly point of view. One of the greatest things that happened when I began to understand God's grace and his love is that I got a new perspective of the world. I begin to see people with a new set of glasses as people who were created in the likeness and image of God. Yeah, they lost it through the fall, but they still carry the fingerprints of their creator God with such value and love. And I loved listening to Jimmy back there this morning talking about taking those opportunities and seeing people. So often we see people through BC eyes, before Christ. We need to see people through the lens of what Jesus Christ died, who he's made them even to be, even if they don't know it yet. And when you awaken them with the truth of the gospel, when they hear the good news and believe, then they can become who God has called them to be, destined them to be. So he says, "From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view." Verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come." God didn't come just to do a remodel job on this world and on people. He came to do a new creation, to remake us and reform us in the image of Christ, that we would be the first ones in God's rescue mission for the whole world. That's what God's called us to do. And he says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation," that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. Isn't that good news? God was in Christ. He's already reconciled the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. That's the message that we get to go out and tell the world. God's not mad at you, and he's not holding your sins against you. Man, that gets me excited to share good news. Now, just recently, I had a conversation with a preacher, and he used that verse to prove his point that the world's already saved and we don't need to do anything. But you know what the next verse says? It says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Amen? Isn't that good news, guys? We're Christ's ambassadors, and we're telling the world, come home to Papa. He loves you. He's calling you home. How many of you guys are ready to take up that call to be a voice for a good news God and to be his witnesses in this world? And, you know, we got to throw aside all those old concept of what evangelism looks like and really take up this new covenant understanding that we are the righteousness of God in Christ, and that we're extending God's unconditional love and grace to the world. Now, I could go on and on with this, but for sake of time, I just want to share a few pictures, a few stories of what we're doing around the world. Do you got those back there, Jimmy, those pictures? Okay. You know, as Jim said, we're involved in outreach and ministry around the world. Our ministry is called L3 International, and it stands for the least, last, and lost. And we go and target those areas of the world where few, if any, missionaries are going. And really, there's no good news missionaries out in these places where we're going. There's some great, wonderful-hearted people that are doing the best they know, but we're bringing a good news gospel. You can find us online. Go ahead and scroll to the next one here. These are a couple of our recent outreaches, and this is a ministry we're connected to, Impact Ministries, to Dr. Jim Richards, and a lot of his material is what we use in training leaders. And earlier this year, we were in the nation of Myanmar, or you might know it as the nation Burma, which as of about 3 years ago, it was still controlled by a communist government, and it was illegal to publicly preach the gospel. And things are beginning to shift, and we were able to go in, and we did a big open-air signs and wonder crusade. We had about 10,000 people attend 4 nights. At least 1,000 people responded to the gospel. That's one of the events there. That was an altar call. Those are people coming forward. Many of them are Buddhists that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the message we're telling them isn't turn or burn, God's angry at you. It's God loves you. We're inviting them into a relationship with God. And so we gave away 5,500 Bibles to local Christian believers. Now, how many of you guys have 3 or 4 Bibles at your home? Now, in the nation of Burma or Myanmar, we went out to one of the villages, and there was about 120 believers in this little mountain village. And one of our team members asked for a show of hands of how many of these believers had their own Bibles. And there was 4 that raised their hand. In the nation of Myanmar, it's illegal to print a full Bible. You can print the New Testament, but you can't print the Old Testament because of certain translation words that go against Buddhism and the Burmese culture. Interesting, huh? And so these Bibles were actually smuggled in from Thailand, strapped to the underside of trucks and vans. And so we got them into the hands of 5,500 believers in Burma. And we're going to be going back there in November, so please keep us in prayer. We're going to be splitting our team and going to 3 areas of the country at the same time, doing conferences, villages, and open-air crusades. Go ahead and scroll to another one. This is a recent crusade we held in Tanzania. This is an area that's never had an event like this before. We worked with churches all across the board, from Presbyterian to Baptist to Pentecostal, and saw thousands of people come to Jesus and wild, mild miracles. Go ahead with a few more there. That is my beautiful wife there on the right, Ruth from Brazil. And this was in Myanmar. This is a woman that, I'll just tell you guys a couple quick stories. Do you guys believe that God still heals today? Okay, all right, so I'm okay to share this, all right. So, just kidding. This is a woman that her daughter came to the second night of our event and came forward to our team and asked for prayer. And she said, "My mom has cancer. She went to the doctors and they said she's dying. Therefore, go home, put your home in order because you're going to die." And so she went, got her house in order, and went to bed waiting to die. And her daughter came to the event and came forward and asked for prayer for her mother, stood in for her mother, went home, told her mother, prayed for her mother. mother, and the next day the mother felt so well. This woman here, she got up and came to the crusade events and came forward when we called people forward for prayer and received prayer from my wife and a few of the other team members. She had a big cancerous tumor on her neck. As they prayed for her, the cancer shrunk and disappeared. Amen? She went home that night, no more symptoms of cancer, feeling perfect in her body. The next morning, she got up feeling normal and went to our pastor's conference and told 120 pastors that Jesus Christ had just healed her. That's the gospel. You guys know when you share good news, good things happen. If you wonder why there's not a lot of miracles happening in many churches here in America, it's because they're not preaching good news. When I look at Paul in Acts chapter 14, with the healing of the crippled man, it says he was preaching good news there. I don't think Paul was preaching four steps to healing. He was preaching about a good God, and because he was preaching good news, this man knew he could be healed. So good news. Go ahead with a couple more. This is a woman that on the first night of our crusade in Tanzania, she'd been crippled for 4 years. She came up on stage, left her walking stick behind, and began to walk across the stage, healed. Amen. This is a fun one here. This is a group that we've been working with in Dubai, and we're using some of Jim Richards' materials here. These are Chinese missionaries that come out of China to be taught the Word of God in Dubai, which is a Muslim nation. And so they're taught as missionaries, and then they're sent out long-term into countries around the Middle East. So this group here, there's a couple of these young women that are going as missionaries to Jordan, others to Lebanon. There's a group in here going permanently to Egypt, southern Egypt, as missionaries. And there's one young couple in there who have a 3-year-old daughter who are on their way to Iran as missionaries. Anyone here want to go to Iran? Yeah, they said, hey, Nate, we're going to get something set up in Iran, and then we're going to come and host you. And I said, all right, I'm in. Just let me know. And then the next day, I watched as the Iranian parliament burnt the United States flag in the parliament. And I said, you guys, I'm going to have to put that trip on hold for a little while. I'm not going to do what Paul did and go right into, yeah, I'm going to use some wisdom. So this is an awesome group that we go over and we teach and train. We had one of their teams join us in Africa just so they got a taste of what it looks like to see multitudes come to Jesus. Because you got to remember, these guys have grown up in China's underground church movements, and where you cannot actively preach the gospel. You've got to do it very, very quietly and use a lot of wisdom. So we've got the gospel of peace in Chinese. We've passed it on to them. But this is a phenomenal group. I've got a couple more here, and then we'll wrap things up. We're also working actively in northern Zambia and southern Tanzania. And this is our L3 Africa staff. These guys are just incredible men and women who are serving God on the front lines. For seven years now, we've been going back and forth from a very remote area of northern Zambia on the southern Tanzanian border. And we started 3 Bible schools from Impact Ministries. I'm going to be going back there in October to do our first Bible school graduation there. And these are pastors and evangelists that are taking this good news message to areas that there's no gospel witness at all, let alone a good news gospel witness. And so these are just incredible men and women. That's our orphanage in the background that takes care of 48 kids. And we've got 7 churches at the moment, and we're planting a whole bunch more later on this year. That's the orphanage and some of the kids and some of the property we own there. Go ahead. And this is kind of an exciting one right here. We were with a team in Africa in June, and we went out to this remote village right here, and this was the open air outreach we did. We bring along a generator because there's no electricity, and we preach the gospel and we pray for the sick, and miracles happen, people receive Jesus. But what was so exciting in this village is after we were done, the village headman or chief came up to us and begged us to start a church in his village. There's not any church represented in that community. He said, come and build us a church. You can have this land over here. And so we got excited but didn't think a lot about it, and then came back. We flew back to America, but just recently we sent a team of our Africans out to this village, and they spent 3 days teaching and training and discipling 8 families that got saved at that outreach, including the village chief or the headman. Now, an African family is just not a mom and a dad and a couple kids. It's the whole extended family. So a large part of this village came to Jesus, and now they're actually making the bricks. They're doing it by hand. We've given them a little bit of money to buy Portland cement that they mix with the mud, and they're making their own bricks to build a church. So we've got a church started out there in this village, and eventually we'll start one of Jim's Bible schools out there as well. So hopefully you're blessed. Hopefully you're excited that you guys are part of something bigger. Say, I'm part of something bigger. That this gospel, Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. And so we're living in a day and age like none other, where the gospel is going forth like it never has in church history. Amen? And we're seeing God doing things that have never been done before. And we're all a part of it. So please keep us in prayer and keep our family in prayer. And I look forward to hopefully connecting with some of you guys afterwards and seeing you next year. Thanks, guys.